Oh, here we are. 866-391-1020. What a day. Oh, look at that. Channel 2 News. House fire in Munhall. That's no good. And that looked really jacked up. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about. I do want to get back into this Epstein stuff. But Patty in Hampton has been on hold for quite a while. And I do want to talk to her and give her her opportunity. Hi, Patty. How are you?
Hi, Colin. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I'm not a very happy camper.
Oh.
I had a daughter that went to college, and she went on the food program, and you pay for it. I resent these college kids who go to school 15, 20 hours a week not working.
Yeah.
For their food.
Well, here's the thing.
That's utterly ridiculous.
It may be, and I'm right. You're right about that if that is, in fact, the case, but there also are non-traditional students and people who are older and people who are taking night classes and things. So if you're referring to what Fada from Next Take had to say about that person getting SNAP, I don't necessarily know if we know the full story of what kind of student that person is.
Well, she was very adamant about them getting SNAP, which I thought SNAP was for disabled or, you know, very low-income people, not just because you're going to college. Take out the program. Take out the food program.
What if you're low-income and you're trying to go to college?
Get another job.
Yeah, I'm just kind of
playing. My daughter went to college.
I get it. I'm just kind of playing arbiter here and seeing this.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous
that these young people, I'm talking young folks, and as far as your folks, when they're back in the workforce or whatever, they might need a helping hand. But they're not going to be in there for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, no, I get it. I understand it.
That's ridiculous. No wonder all these people are on SNAP.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is we have far too many people on SNAP. That's for sure. And I went over this the other day. And the other part is we have different goods that people are able to buy that I don't think should be eligible. There should be absolutely zero pop sales for SNAP, zero junk food sales on SNAP, all of that kind of stuff. That just shouldn't happen, or at least a cap on that. You shouldn't be able to fill your...
Let me tell you, Collins, I worked in a grocery store.
Oh, okay.
And when they say that people do not use those, at that time was welfare or whatever, to buy that junk food or whatever, that's wrong, because I've seen them. I've waited on them, and they get nothing but the best meats, nothing but the best lunch meats, which is ridiculous. I personally think that these people should be a commissary, and these people, instead of giving them the SNAP program, there should be a commissary where these people have to go there and get their box cheese or block cheese, whatever they call it, carnation milk, food like that, healthy food, instead of giving them a SNAP card or whatever, however they do it.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate the insight. I don't think government cheese and carnation milk is all that healthy, though. I do think that there should be parameters on what they're able to buy, and continuing to make them go to a special grocery store that, I don't want to say stigmatizes people even more, that might not be beneficial. It just might not. I just think that there needs to be a lot of reform with the SNAP program. One, you need to have honest-to-goodness people on it that really, truly do need it, and there are a lot of people in this country who do. And second of all, there needs to be reform on what they're permitted to buy and what the government will pay for. And it does. It burns me up. Like I talked about this the other day, that Channel 11 story when that guy was bemoaning that SNAP wasn't paying for enough and it was going to be tough for the holidays. And then he loaded up more Mountain Dew than I've ever seen into the back of his SUV. And I'm thinking, wait, maybe did you ever try some water there, Poppy? Yeah, that might be the way to go. Anyhow, 866-391-1020 is the number. You know, one of the big stories of the day, it's this.
There is no evidence that has surfaced that links the president to having taken part in any of Epstein's trafficking operations through the years. Remember that they're friends essentially dating back to the late 1980s. They were running in the same social circles in New York and Florida, but they broke off their friendship, the president has said, around 2004, more than a decade before Epstein was indicted on federal sex trafficking charges in 2019.
So that's CBS News senior White House and political correspondent Ed O'Keefe. He's explaining the nature of the relationship between Trump and Epstein right there. But That being said, where we are in all of this is we're going to have two camps that are never going to budge, even in light of these emails today.
Democrats and some Republicans like Representative Massey say that that's just not enough. They want the full release of the so-called Epstein files. They want to compel the appropriate parties to release over that information and make it public.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm okay with that. But again, what you have in all of this, emails were released today by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee who obtained them after subpoenaing Epstein's estate earlier this year. Now, Trump did not receive or send any of the messages, which largely predated his time as president, which Ed O'Keefe explained a little bit ago. And he has not been accused of any criminal wrongdoing in connection with Epstein or Maxwell. None of that. I'm not taking either side here. I'm looking at this objectively, and you have the White House spokesperson. She came out and she was like, "Nope, this is just a ploy from the Democrats." This is a perpetual ping pong match that's never going to end. The Republicans are going to say, show us a real smoking gun. Show us charges. Where are people with blue coats with some yellow writing on the back with some sort of acronym that come and show up with handcuffs? Then we'll pay some attention. Until then, this is all a bunch of hill of beans. The Democrats are going to say, well, listen, they assert claims that Maxwell, who was convicted of sex trafficking after Epstein's death, and this Michael Wolff, they had conversations that assert Trump spent significant time with a woman who are described as one of Epstein's victims. That's enough. That's enough for us. And the emails also include messages where Epstein asserts that Trump knew about the girls. And that's enough. They're going to play a big connecting of the dots game, where people on their side are going to go, yeah, connection to the dots says Trump's guilty. And that's going to be the wall that divides those two sides, just as much as their parties. And it's going to be a stalemate, and it's going to be like that forever. That's the way that it is, unless there are blockbuster new developments in this. I'm not saying we're wasting our time, because we're not. But to think that anybody is going to jump from one team to the other, and to think that their minds aren't already made up, barring some big blockbuster revelation, is fruitless. It's a fruitless endeavor at this point. The emails today weren't in Trump's possession. Trump didn't receive or send any of them, and they largely predated his time as president. And he's not been accused of any criminal wrongdoing in connection with any of this. And that is going to be where Republicans dig in and say, what are we doing here? And Democrats are going to say, well, we don't need that much. We have this much. And here we are. So until they're all released, then this is the back and forth we're going to go through. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I heard something's closing, and I really hope it's not something here in Pittsburgh. I'll explain that. All right, do you hear this story about Wendy's going to close a bunch of Wendy's? That's not good for people who enjoy Wendy's. Now, Wendy's plans to close hundreds of U.S. restaurants in the coming months. Revenues, profits, they decline. About 300 stores, maybe more. So fast food chains have been struggling, we know this, to lift sales. Lower income consumers feel increasingly squeezed by rising food costs. And both Wendy's and McDonald's have introduced value meals, try to entice diners. But the Wendy's people say they don't expect the financial strain on these households to ease anytime soon. And so, bang, there we are. Something needs to give. And those are Wendy's locations. Now, Wendy's said $5 and $8 meals, which have been matched by McDonald's, have helped bring some foot traffic back in to their U.S. stores. But Wendy's isn't doing a good job of bringing in new customers, just existing people that have already kind of been Wendy's shoppers, right? And so the company plans to shift its marketing to emphasize value and the freshness of its ingredients. So there's that. Now, I don't know what the plans are for the Wendy's in Western Pennsylvania. I don't. And I'm not, if you listen to my show, I'm not a braggart or anything. I don't eat fast food. It screws my stomach up and I don't enjoy it all that much. Very rarely do I. It's been years since I've been to the Wendy's, but I'll tell you this, this particular Wendy's. For entertainment purposes, I surely hope that the Allegheny Avenue Wendy's does not close. I had two great instances there. One, drive-through. Okay? I was behind a car once, and it's the one right down by the stadiums, probably by like the Science Center, you know, Allegheny Avenue. Behind a car once, guy gets the wrong food. I'm behind him. I'm second. I'm waiting for my food. I'd already ordered, already paid, I think. And it's late. It's like a Friday night. He goes back and forth with the lady who's working there. She's not taking any of his guff. He's not holding back on giving his guff. Before he pulls out, and this actually was not beneficial to him, come to think of it, he just threw his whole Coke right at the window. Bam! Just blasted right on the window and just pulled off. That was a drive-through shenanigans. I had an in-person shenanigans there, waiting inside at the Allegheny Avenue Wendy's. And this was incredible. Two ladies. One lady is giving this lady guff who's working there. Lady's working there, doesn't have time. She doesn't care. It's something over making change, right? So she says, you got your change. She says, I didn't. She says, I got my change. She says, I didn't. She says, I got my burger wrong. They go back and forth for a little bit. I'm waiting on, because it's one of those things, the fries weren't ready. I'm waiting on the fries. Lady steps up in the girl's face, leans over the counter. I'm like, this is going to turn out bad, but I'm here to watch it, okay? Girl working there comes out from behind the counter and starts feeding her right hands right there in the lobby, like where you wait on your food. Five or six of them. Girl returns fire at her, punches the Wendy's employee a couple times. There's like five, six people in the lobby. We're just watching this like nothing's happening. Lady who's working there, they're both probably in their 20s. They fire off on each other, land a couple shots. It's like a Tyson Bone Crusher Smith sort of bout. She then just nonchalantly, girl leaves. I guess she had her right change eventually. Other girl goes back, puts her visor back on, just rolls back in and starts taking orders. It was one of the most surreal moments I've ever seen in my life. But she did. She came out swinging from behind the counter and gave her four or five sharp rights, and a girl gave it right back to her. I ended up getting my fries in due time, but the Allegheny Avenue Wendy's never go away. It's like you walk into a different dimension in that place. You never could tell what's about to go down. And don't give those employees any guff there, because they're not there for it at all. If you don't laugh, you're going to cry. I heard Paul read that statement from the county about the state budget, and it included a graph where they said, we thank the governor and his staff for working through the night. Which night of the past, like, 4 months? Last night? A week ago? A month ago? Which night did they work through? It wasn't a day late. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Whew. Anyway, I do want to get into something Thanksgiving-related in just a little bit, but Lee's in Elwood City. Hi, Lee.
Colin, you can take that Sam Adams Utopias to your Thanksgiving dinner.
No, that'll get everybody just flying around the room. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Have you had that stuff?
I have tried it.
Let me ask you, because
it's not like a beer.
It's got to taste like brandy or whiskey.
Yeah, it's a little more. It tastes better than brandy and whiskey. It's not like a straight up, you know, hard hitting spirit. You know, it has better flavors, in my opinion. Back when I was into craft beer, I got the chance to try it. I would never buy it. It's like $200 a bottle.
Yeah, that's a bit much. And what the ABV is 30?
It was around that. It always sort of changes, you know, between 28-30%.
That's just
pretty high.
Yeah, that's way too much. Like I said, once you get on the other side of 9.5, 10, 11, you invariably start to taste the alcohol a little bit, Lee.
Yeah, you definitely taste it. Your man Jack, he went like that.
No, it'd be way too much. When I drank, and I don't anymore, but I like those Belgian.
Near do I.
What's that?
Near do I.
No, but
back in the
day, the Belgian style triples I liked. Those were my things.
Those were good.
Yeah, yeah. Those were
and
the.
I like the double IPAs.
See. Some of those IPAs, I swear, those IPAs, it tasted like you were smoking weed. Like you could taste the. I'm serious.
Yeah, some of them got pretty. Yeah, they got pretty dank, and some of them will lean into that, you know, with the names of them.
Right. It's like it tastes like very hoppy and like leafy. Like you could just walk up to a marijuana plant and just take it right off the stem, just put it in your mouth and eat it. That's what they tasted like. I like the more like the one. Any, I'll tell you the beers that I would pick. Like I said earlier, like that Le Fin du Monde I'd like, and then anything that would have a fat monk on it, I generally would drink. One of those kind of things.
Yeah, I enjoyed the stouts and porters and the IPAs. And then I started leaning back. I'm just a lager guy now if I'm going to have a beer. But
gotcha. Well, I'll stay away. That 30% ABV is way too much. Now, in lieu of having any sort of alcohol or drinking my dinner or whatever, Thanksgiving to me now has become much more enjoyable. Diving into something like this.
Even if you've got pumpkin spice everything fatigue, a pumpkin pie is still a non-negotiable must-have on the Thanksgiving table. According to Instacart data, it's the most popular pie by far, with orders surging more than 2,000% the day before the holiday. While they found pumpkin is the favorite in the West, there's more variation on preferences in other parts of the country. In Georgia, North Carolina, and Maryland, sweet potato pie reigns supreme. It's pecan pie in Texas and Mississippi, while French silk pie is tops across the Midwest. Stacy Lynn, CBS News.
Oh, great story, Stacy. Pumpkin pie. Margo, jump in here. Tell me if you agree. Pumpkin pie. Now, I like pumpkin pie, but you got to, in moderation. Even if you don't like it, you got to have it and serve it and all of that on Thanksgiving. Like, you could have 10 people over on Thanksgiving. All 10 of them go, I really don't like pumpkin pie. Just because of the occasion, you got to make one. Would you agree with me there?
Yes, my three pie non-negotiables for Thanksgiving are pumpkin pie, pecan pie, and apple pie.
I love pecan pie.
Yeah.
I truly love pecan pie. Now, apple pie is good. I actually like an apple crumble bake sort of thing. Like, you know,
Yeah, that's good, but apple pie... I just think the three pies that I always need on Thanksgiving.
Pumpkin pie. Now, do you like pumpkin roll?
Of course.
Pumpkin roll is spectacular. It's fantastic. But pecan pie, here's the thing, though. Pecan pie, I truly enjoy. I do. It's really hard to find, though, an average pecan pie. Generally, pecan pie is either super great or it tastes like cardboard and it's awful. You hardly ever get that pecan pie where you're like, that was kind of okay. It was just all right. Who makes your pecan pie, Margo?
My grandpa.
Oh.
He makes the best pecan pie.
Has he been making it like forever? That's his thing?
Yeah, I've never had a Thanksgiving where he didn't make his pecan pie.
Does he make anything else?
Sometimes they make the pumpkin pie, but sometimes they just get it from Sam's Club, and I'm fine with that. Sam's Club is like Costco. If Western Pennsylvania.
No, they have those here too.
Okay, okay.
Now, on the apple pie, do you go whipped cream? Do you go ice cream? Do you go just naked pumpkin pie? How does this work?
This is how my dessert plate looks.
Here we go.
I have a tiny sliver of each pie. I take whipped cream, put it on the whole entire surface area of the plate, and then put a small scoop of vanilla ice cream next to the apple pie.
Is the whipped cream on the bottom of the pie then, or on top of the pies?
No, on top. You can't see the pies because there's whipped cream all over the plate.
Do you know my daughter calls it whoop cream? She's called it that since she was a little baby.
Whoop cream.
Whoop cream, yes. I don't know why. She goes whoop cream. anyhow, now Cool Whip, like out of a tub?
No.
Or the spray can
thing? The spray can.
Do you spray it in your mouth?
No.
See, I still do. Every time I take it out of the refrigerator, I spray a little bit in my mouth.
I just don't want any to get on my lips.
Gotcha. All right, so you spray it all on there. All right, okay, I can get on board with that. Now, like French vanilla ice cream, like just regular white vanilla ice cream.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever they you got. Have, yeah.
Okay, whatever you got. I don't mind that. Do you put the pie in the microwave for just a couple seconds?
No, I'm fine with it cold or hot.
Okay, gotcha. I'm looking forward to this Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Oh, because of the eating?
Yes.
Gotcha.
I'm a foodie.
All right. Now, so your grandpa's pecan pie.
Yep.
Man, see, now you've got me wanting a piece of this pecan pie from your grandpa. How many of them does he make?
Just one, but I'll try to bring a piece back.
No, you don't have. No, I don't want you to go without. You make sure to eat it. But
no, we always have extra.
Pecan pie is... I think some people are turned off by like the looks of it. They don't like it.
It is very sugary also.
That's okay.
But that's the point of pie.
It's Thanksgiving. Come on.
Exactly. Thanksgiving is the time where you can eat whatever.
Just rip through it. Have at it.
Exactly. That's the point of the holiday.
Yes, 100%. I did not take you for a slice of this, slice of that, slice of the other thing, ration it out like that. I thought you'd go full.
Really?
No, I like that about
you. No, I need to have a slice of every single thing.
Not bad. Not bad, Margo. Coming up next, I'll tell you what I don't need anymore. And apparently, America's right there with me. That's before we get out of here on Channel 2. They always put these interesting sort of worldly stories or offbeat stories on toward the end of the 5 o'clock hour. And there's a story on there about a Australian surfer who was attacked by a shark, but he made it out. So there's that. Just a couple more minutes left. How about this story? This story is interesting because I don't want to say I was ahead of this game, but I had wondered for years where this was going to go. And if there was truly a use for this in society. And now I think we're getting our answer. As more and more people go away from using currency, like hard currency, dollars, coins, things like that, they're phasing out the penny. But they're phasing out the penny. But I found in talking about this, the amount of people who only want to use hard currency is much more numerable than I ever anticipated. Some people are worried about some like World Bank. People are worried about having their IDs tracked, all that kind of stuff. Seriously. And they've all gotten in touch with me, I think. And they only want to use dollar bills, coins, things like that. They won't use a debit card. They won't use a credit card. It's very interesting. But anyway, give a listen to this story.
It costs nearly 4 cents to make a penny, and President Donald Trump has ordered its cancellation. The U.S. Mint in Philadelphia has been making pennies since 1793, a year after Congress passed the Coinage Act. Over the last 100 years, half of the coins made at U.S. Mints in Philadelphia and Denver have been pennies.
How about that? So it costs 4 cents to make a penny. Penny, easy for me to say. It's just not financially responsible to make these things anymore. It isn't. Now, what's going to be interesting is this. There are still a gazillion in circulation, right? And people are going to want to pay with them. How are they going to? And you see some restaurants, some coffee shops, some things already round up to the five or down to the zero, depending on where it falls. If it's 01 and 2, it stays down. 3 and 4, it goes up to the next 5. That's not entirely all the way legal, some people tell me. So, that being said, if they just adjust their prices and how they could figure that out to make sure there's no penny involvement, if they can, but then you get taxes put in and it never comes out correctly. This phasing out of the penny is going to be much more difficult than anybody ever anticipated. It just is. But it's not financially responsible to continue to mint something that is worth 1 cent but costs 4 cents to make. So I don't know. This is one of those things I got no idea what the proper answer is. I just don't. What I do know is this. I hate having, not hate, I don't like using that word. I dislike having a bunch of coins in my pocket or people give me change and it involves four pennies or whatever because I'm never going to spend it. I never carry it around. I end up putting it in the have a penny, take a penny, take a penny, have a penny sort of little bin right there at the register. So there's that. That's why that thing at Giant Eagle was super smart. They should do that at a lot more places. Get rid of these pennies, be done with them, be over, get a gift card to somewhere. That's the way to go about it. I'll be back tomorrow. Can't wait.